Blog Talk Radio.
To all you fabulous listeners out there. My name is Meredith, also known as Foxy Mama. Here in this forum, we encourage you all to listen, call in, and share your amazing stories with us. Please feel free to ask questions pertaining to your weight loss journey, nutrition, wellness, fitness, and healthy lifestyles. And now, with no further ado, I am proud to introduce the host of our show, Big Dreams Talk Radio, Steve, the Health Minister Nicander.
Hello, and welcome this evening to Big Dreams Radio. This is Steve, Sir Drop-A-Lot Nicander, also known as the Health Minister, for our first evening here live on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to talk just a little bit about those who don't know me. I'm the host. I've been on my own weight loss journey and health road recovery to health just a little over 2 years. I've been able to lose nearly 400 pounds in the last 2 years with whole food, nutrition, fitness, and water. And now I'm speaking to other people in hopes that I can help to educate them and making their own connections with mind, body, and fitness, and hopefully get them to recover themselves as well. I started my own weight loss page of these massive weight loss fan page on Facebook, and recently I've been connected with Big Dreams, which is a new, recently being developed docu-based reality TV show, self-improvement show, that we are getting ready to pitch to the networks very imminently, probably within the next month or two. It's one of my big dreams to be able to get out there and inspire other people, motivate people to, especially the ones that were in my condition that was nearly 650 pounds. I'm down to just below 260 now, 250 something actually. I think we'll actually find out this week when I work out with Mercedes here on Friday. Speaking of her, she will be our guest tonight. Her name is Mercedes Dunn. She's a trainer at Anytime Fitness. And we look forward to talking with her in a little while when she's calling in. We'd like to have anybody that's out there have any questions to please call in and we'll talk to our moderator. And just tell them the questions that you have, and we'll get to you as soon as possible. like to welcome any guests and any other caller in, people that have been associated with Big Dreams and the Big Dreams page. We invite them to come in and talk about your weight loss journeys, maybe questions about health and anything else that you have that we'd like to talk about. And we'd like to also say that we have many, many scheduled things coming up. We've got webisodes that we're producing now that will be coming out on Monday. Every Monday we'll be producing a webisode that we will be putting out on our social media site. These will range from a variety of topics. This last one that we just put out on Monday happened to be the one of my first training session with Mercedes at Anytime. We also have another scheduled training session for this Friday. I had another one last Friday where we did an intense workout with some kettlebell at work and some medicine ball and some other stuff. I'm all training right now, trying to get live and get myself down to 250 and below. Actually, my goal weight right now is try to get down to 238 pounds, and that will be, have been that will be a total of 400 pounds lost. Like I said, anyone that does have a question, please call in, and we'll be able to get to you. Looks like we have Amanda on the line. And how you doing, Amanda? Hello? You there?
Sorry, I had you muted. Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just getting in from work.
Yeah. Great. So, do you have any questions tonight for us?
Is Mercedes on?
I think she will be on probably, I'd say probably say about 15 or 20 after the hour she should be calling in. And we'll have, we'll be talking to her and interviewing her. I've got several questions I'd like to talk to her about. You know, a bunch of other different stuff that we'd like to be asking her. But if you have any other different questions, feel free to ask, please.
I was really looking for, like, information on, like, what impacts, like, maybe when you're working out your knees the least.
On my what now?
Your knees. What exercises would you suggest to people that they want the less impact as possible on their knees?
Gotcha. Right. Well,
still,
Yeah, absolutely, because I've had, you know, I had severe arthritis to begin with, and especially with the weight and everything. I tried to find out a lot of different things or exercises that I could do that would not have that severe impact on my knee. That's why one of the reasons I, when I got to the point where I was able to, I got myself and purchased myself a recumbent exercise bike. It's one of the things I kind of relied on this whole time to really get my cardio kicked up and into high gear. A recumbent exercise bike, for those of you that don't know that, is a more relaxed bike. You're not sitting straight up and down. The seat is kind of reclined, and so you're actually sitting in the seat, and your feet, instead of going straight down above the seat, kind of stretch out in front of you. This relieves a lot of the impact on the knees, because I know even like with a treadmill, even now, I've walked on the treadmill a couple of times, and it just has so much impact. I've got bone on bone in my right, on my right knee. On my left knee is not quite as bad, but that's one of the greatest things that I relied upon right off the bat was to use a recumbent. Other exercises that, you know, walking is you know, a treadmill obviously is walking as well. But I think just a relaxed gait of a walk is another nice, easy exercise that I actually tried to do as well. My therapist had me, first I started with a walker, but eventually got to the point where I didn't even need a walker. Walking is a good exercise. You don't have to overdo it. You don't have to, you can go at your own speed. And then there's other things. I mean, weights are a great thing. I mean, we'll be actually try to be talking about that too. Another good thing is, in fact, we just tried it today, and I was very surprised, but there's a machine that we have at any time now that's almost like a hybrid between an elliptical and a stair climber. I don't even know the actual name of it. We actually call it the Beast. But it's a low impact on the knees, and I was very surprised because it's very fluid, and it's just like an elliptical, it really doesn't have that much of an impact on your knees as well because it's fluid. It's very smooth. There's no solid impact that you're making when you're moving that kind of moves back and forth, and it really helps. It certainly does pick up your heart rate as well. So Kristen tells me that we got Roderick on the line. Good evening, Roderick. How are you doing?
Yes, good evening. I'm glad that I have an opportunity to be on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You have a question for us?
I basically have concerns, I guess, about health and being in shape on a regular basis without, I guess, spending too much money, but I guess at some point it's necessary, but having a simple start is what I was curious about. Do you have any suggestions or ideas, exercise-wise, I guess?
Oh, say that again now? I'm sorry. I was sitting there looking at Kristen. as far as money-wise, is what now?
You're trying to get a simple start with exercise. What would you suggest? Dumbbells might be an idea.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that I did right off the bat. I used ankle and wrist weights and just a couple, a set of different varied weights. I think I got a set of 5-pound dumbbells and a pair of 10-pound dumbbells to start. And then just try simple exercises. Even like when I started, I was actually in a recliner, but even then standing to like do like boxing moves, like where you're punching and maybe like uppercuts and stuff like that. And very small, simple exercises, incorporating small weights and stuff help. Even walking with some weights can actually have a pretty good, a nice impact as well. You don't have to go excessive right off the bat.
And
I think you can have a really decent impact on your metabolism and stuff. I've seen that we do have our guest is actually, she's called in and she's here. So I'd like to actually invite and say hello to Mercedes. How are you doing tonight, Mercedes?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. So I hear the
Absolutely.
Caller that just called wanted to know some easy, simple things to do to get started on an exercise routine.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, that's true.
Let him know.
Well, just what Steve said is starting off small, getting hand weights, doing something really simple that you could do at your house, that you could do every day,
right.
Everyday movements.
Right. Is there like a guide, like what? I guess working the chest, working the arms, the abs, or, you know, are there any particular movement routines, I guess I could say?
Depending on what your ability is, being able to do sit-ups, you could do that at your house. You don't need any special equipment for that. Just walking back and forth from one end of the house to the other end, adding in some lunges to that is very easy. Using the dumbbells, like Steve said, he started off with a couple of small dumbbells,
yeah.
Doing a little bit of curls. Anything that's going to incorporate your body moving, getting up and moving, that's the most important thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's
so Yeah, it really is. I mean, and you know, you really have to kind of assess your own physical limitations. I know I had a lot in the beginning, and I knew that I couldn't do too many things, like even, like, say, jumping rope or anything like that. And that's what we'll get into that in a minute here when we're talking about the training. You know, that's why eventually when you can get to a point of maybe actually talking to a trainer, they can kind of assess your physical limitations and stuff, and then they can kind of help you in that regard. But, Mercedes, let's talk about how important a regular and maintained fitness schedule is to our overall health and wellness.
Well, it's absolutely important, Steve. Having overall health and wellness doesn't just affect whether you lose or gain weight, but it affects your lifestyle. Being able to get up and move and be comfortable, getting in and out of a chair, in and out of a car. Every day we always have to walk, move around. Everything we do, there's movement involved. So making sure that you have a fitness schedule and you're incorporating some sort of fitness routine into your life is so important to have a good lifestyle.
Right. And we should also mention that stretching before we ever do any of that and trying to stretch out and do some, that's very important too as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. You always want to warm up your body before you do anything, any type of exercise routine. If, for example, if you're going to be doing lunges or going for a jog, you start off by walking. You start off by stretching out the legs, warming up your body, just like a car. You start up the car in the cold weather. You let it warm up for a little bit before you go for that drive. You want to do the same exact thing to your body.
That's a great analogy. So you are a personal trainer. So tell our listeners, for those that actually have never had one or are thinking about maybe having one, exactly does a personal trainer and what actually do they do?
Sure. Well, personal trainers, we're all educated professionals. We get our knowledge in exercise, physiology, and health. A good personal trainer does so much for their clients. We're not just people that stand there yelling at you, telling you how many times to pick up the heavy weight, because I'm sure you could do that by yourself. What we actually do is we educate you in strength training, cardio, nutrition, and any other general health-related topics. We also assess your fitness level and ability to help you understand where you are and where you're looking to go. And having a personal trainer, being able to help you set and reach your goals by developing a personalized fitness program and making sure you stick to it, is so important and a huge part of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And most importantly, we also encourage and motivate you to reach your optimum potential while working out. It's really hard to sit there and say, all right, I'm tired, I'm going to stop, when a personal trainer is standing there telling you, I know you could do more. Let's make sure you reach your optimal potential while you're working out.
Right. So you try to keep them accountable, because I know it's so hard, especially, I mean, it was for me sometimes. I would sit at and have those days where you don't feel like doing it, you know. And it's a different story when you got someone else there kind of like giving you motivation and boosting you. It really helps, like you and I, when we were working out the last Friday. You know, you just those little words of encouragement and say you can do it and all that stuff, it really does help your mindset, I think, when you're in that kind of training mode. It keeps you pushing, keeps you going, you know?
Absolutely. Having somebody there with you while you're working out, motivating you, encouraging you, knowing that you have a scheduled time that you're going to be meeting somebody. And not only is it just a workout buddy, but it's somebody that's going to be able to make sure that you're doing the exercises properly and can give you education that you might not be able to get elsewhere. It's so important. And as you said, the accountability and the motivation that you get from a personal trainer is so important and something you're not going to get elsewhere.
Yeah, right. Mentioned nutrition, and you know, it would make sense, I guess, I can't do it, but going into the, I guess, workout with the trainer, having the energy, would there be supplements that could be beneficial to take prior to a workout?
I have to say there are so many supplements out there, and you get inundated with, you have to eat this, drink this protein shake, take this pill. The best thing I could tell anybody is to eat whole, unprocessed, natural foods into your body, making sure that you're fueled right, you don't eat too much, and moderation is the key, not eating too much fats, not eating too much protein, not eating too much carbs, but having a balance. When you're balanced and you have healthy foods into your body, it's only going to fuel your workout, so you have a great workout.
To piggyback off of that, if I could ask Mercedes, hi, I'm Mandy. I have built a lot of my transition and weight loss with the 40-40-20 type diet. I don't like to use the term diet, but I guess eating habits or lifestyle with food. Are you familiar with the 40-40-20?
I am not. I've never heard of it. I'm sorry.
It's like 40% protein, 40% carbs, and then 20% fat.
Okay.
Would you say that that is a pretty healthy balance?
That does sound like a healthy balance. The important thing with nutrition to remember is that every person is different. One person's nutritional needs is not going to be the same as another person's nutritional needs. So if that diet is working for you and you're feeling healthy, you're eating the healthy foods, whole, unprocessed, natural foods, and you're seeing results in your weight loss, and that's great. So if it's working for you, I would say go for it. And if it's a healthy balance, which it sounds like it is, you're getting the right amount of calories to fuel your body, to give you the energy that you need during the day, and you're not getting too much, then that's great for you. But nutrition is a very personal thing, just like workouts. What might work for one workout, what I do for a workout, and what Steve does for a workout might be very different, but we might see similar results. And it's the same thing with nutrition.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what is exactly, is you as a personal trainer, what is your personal training philosophy?
That's a heavy question, Steve.
You know, right? Well, I don't want to get too deep, but I mean, you must know, you must have like a, you know, like a philosophy and actually you probably even touched on it a little bit. You know, it's that whole balance of nutrition and fitness and everything. But
I do.
What's your philosophy on and getting to maintain or actually achieving some of the best results overall?
For me, training is not just about the outer physical results, but it's about inner results. Sparking that change in how you think, how you feel, and how you see fitness and healthy living in your lifestyle is most important to me. Being in the right mindset is just as important as having a proper form when you're working out, and that's really where I stand. Is it's not one particular exercise or one particular diet that I do, but it's making sure that you're living a healthy lifestyle and you're maintaining a healthy lifestyle by incorporating your whole body, mind, and spirit. And by doing that, you'll be able to change not just what you're doing physically, but how you feel about yourself, and you'll be able to see a bigger change in your life overall.
That's an excellent, excellent point, because that's one of those things that I even found when I was reading the books that I was reading. You've got to really work on your brain as well. The brain is, you know, let's face it, the brain is the computer operating system of our bodies. And you've got to retrain, actually. I mean, as long as, as you're in the mode of training your body, I think we also got to retrain our mindset. And, you know, it's all habit and forming good, positive habits. And I think training and fitness scheduling is exactly that, is retraining our mind to program ourselves to be in that mode and to think positive. That's another thing. We have a tendency as humans sometimes to really get down on ourselves. Of course, Dr. Amen calls them ants, automatic negative thoughts. You can call them what you will, but we always have those kind of those things. Those are the things that we always make excuses for. You know, I don't have time today, or I don't feel like doing it, or whatever. I keep asking myself those questions, you know, what if I had done that, you know, because somehow I got to that point where I just didn't let those things overtake my mind. I kind of blocked them out, and it's amazing when you were talking about the nutrition part there, Roderick, as well as with Mercedes. You know, it's so important when you're talking about those whole nutrient-dense foods, because if you're getting those right nutrients, it really helps with your brain and your mindset and your willpower as well. It really does. I mean, it helps you, it helps to motivate you, it helps with your willpower. It certainly helps with your energy level. I've found that is extremely important as well. And speaking of that, in fact, talking about optimal times for exercise, what do you think are the optimal times to exercise to get the maximum results when we're looking for fat loss and boosting our metabolism?
You know, again, it's one of those things that there's so many different ideas out there. You'll speak to one person and they'll say, if you work out in the morning and do cardio first thing in the morning, you're going to get the best results. And another person will say, you work out in the evening and build your muscles in the evening. I think it's really, as long as you're getting exercise into your daily routine, that's the most important thing. And again, the body is a funny thing. Everybody has their own individual internal clock, so to say. Some people can sleep for 6 hours, and some people can sleep for 8 hours. Some people wake up and are a morning person, and other people are night owls. So it's really what works for you. The most important thing to stay focused on is that you have exercise as part of your daily routine. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something you do when you're in the mood or you have a moment to do it. It's something that you incorporate into your lifestyle. If you do it at 8 a.m., at 3 p.m., or at midnight, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're getting up and you're moving and you're exercising.
Right. It's a great point. And speaking of that, seeing that we that you work at any time, which happens to be a 24-hour facility, how great do you think that is to have a facility like that? That way anybody can actually have a like you said, any time. I mean, you could literally go there at 1 o'clock in the morning if you work a second shift or whatever. That's a great idea, don't you think?
It's wonderful. I think anything 24 hours is great. I remember back in the day when I weighed over 100 pounds more than what I do now, I would drive for miles looking for that fast food joint to fill some midnight craving of mine. So I loved 24-hour things. Now,
right.
I can go to the gym and sweat out that craving and get a great workout. So I think anything 24 hours where it gives people access to a gym, something healthy, it's a much healthier choice than going through that drive-in that's open 24 hours. So it's a really great thing.
Great point.
There was another concern I had, you know, in relation to training and working out. We have expectations as far as what our results would be. As far as we're at one particular point, yeah, as far as our weight or, for that matter, muscle tone, is there like a general time frame that we could expect to see results, say with muscle tone, for instance? Would that be like a 60-day window or a 30-day window or any word on that, how that might be for, you know, expecting to see results?
It all depends on how much you're working out. If you're working out once a week, you're not going to see the results as fast as if you're working out 3 or 4 times a week. The length of your workout is just as important. Usually sticking to anything, you want to stick to something at least a month before you're going to see real results, especially with building muscle. Building muscle is a cell, and it takes time to develop and build. So I would say at least giving it about a month, but again, it depends how much effort you're willing to put into it. The more time and effort you put into it, the faster you'll see the results. I always say that small changes equals small results. Big changes equals big results. So the more you put into it, the bigger you'll see your results.
Okay.
So, Mercedes, we have a person in our chat room who she's not actually online, but she's asking a question anyway, so I'd like to ask you that question that she typed in. She said she's been trying to do the bike and the elliptical, and she keeps getting burning in her leg. Her question is, how is she able to stop this from happening? And actually, we could take it even further, what actually causes that?
It depends on where the burning is, Steve. If the burning is in the front of her legs, right at where that bone is that goes from the bottom of your foot all the way up to your knee, that could be shin splints. And that could be a number of reasons. There could be reasons how the mechanics of her foot works actually how she's landing. It could be something as simple as making sure you're properly fitted with the right shoe. The best thing to do is to actually see a personal trainer, get a fitness assessment, have them watch how you're performing on a bike, how you're landing on the elliptical. A lot of people think you could just jump on a machine and go work out and you're going to do it properly, but there's a proper form and technique for everything you do. And it's really a hard question to answer. There's no one specific answer for that. Going to see a personal trainer,
and get an assessment. So if you get that burning in the back, because I was doing this the other day, I was doing something and I forgot what it was, but it was more, instead of a burning, it was more actually more like a cramping. So when you start to get that cramping, and I think it was on the bike, it was my last 15 minutes or so, I started getting the cramping. What usually causes that cramping up in our inner muscles as well?
A lot of time it could be lactic buildup that happens in your muscles, that your body builds this lactic buildup in your muscles that can be causing the burning sensation, and it just wants you to stop. And it dependent on how intense the pain is, you might need to stop or you might need to push yourself through it. You're doing a long workout, which means you were using your muscles for a long length of time, and it probably got tightened up and got stiff. And when you're done, you need to stretch it out. Sometimes there's a sharp pain and you want to stop right away. I had a wonderful physical therapist said to me once when I had pain in my shoulder, he said, if you have a headache, do you keep bashing your head into the wall to make the headache go away and say, oh, get better sooner or later? And, of course, who would do that? It's the same thing with your body. If you feel pain that is unnatural pain, it's not just I'm exercising and I'm getting fatigued, then you probably should stop and go see a professional and find out what's going on. But there might be those times where you're just working out and your body's getting tired and you just got to push through it and push through that last rep, push through that last few minutes on the bike and just push past that and make sure you finish your workout. But other times you really might need to stop and go speak to somebody professional that can really find out what's going on with you.
Great. Okay, so we got another caller online, Courtney. So, Courtney, how are you doing tonight? And you got a question for us?
Great, thank you. I do. My question is for Mercedes about I had an injury, and it's basically put me up on the couch for about a year now. I've been packing on the weight, and I want to get back into exercising and get the weight off, but I need to do something low impact, I was told, but what I've always thought of low impact doesn't burn as much calories. My question was, what do you recommend? Can you explain the low impact aspect of it for me? And what do you recommend that would burn enough calories to actually give me an effective weight loss since I have been sitting on the couch basically for a year?
Well, a lot of times injuries sideline you and stop what you're doing physically and your fitness routine, which is completely understandable. But doing low-impact exercises, what that usually means is, depending on the type of injury you have, going out and going for an hour run probably wouldn't be your best bet. But weight training is an actually excellent, wonderful way to incorporate exercise into your routine, and it's a low-impact sport. You're not banging your feet on the ground really fast. You're not jumping up and down. You're doing a low-impact sport. Getting a few dumbbells, doing what Steve did when he started off. I mean, Steve, you started off just punching it out with those small dumbbells. That was a low-impact sport, and look at the results he got.
I see. I actually had an ankle injury, so I haven't I haven't been able to run. I haven't been able to, and even sitting on a bike sometimes does seem to. So I do. Now, does that give you the same cardio effect that gets my heart rate up?
Your heart rate isn't going to be up in the same way that it would if you go for a bike ride or if you go for a run. But building muscle, the way your body works is the more muscle you have in your body, the better your metabolism works. So the faster your metabolism works. if you have a person sitting around that has more muscle mass than they do fat mass, they burn more calories. Muscles burn more calories and fat than fat does. So actually strengthening your body can be just as effective as going for a run. But you're right. You're not going to see your heart rate go up as much as if you were running. But you could still get a really great workout in with weights. It could just be picking up those
really,
weights.
It really does. It does.
It really
does. Yeah.
When I started it,
you know, I didn't even, you know, because I had told myself that I wasn't going to weigh myself immediately and I was going to do it for months at a time. And so what really made me realize that I was actually making an impact on my heart rate as well was that I was literally in an air-conditioned room and I was doing these exercises, like punching and like lifting my legs and doing that, like I call it the dancing in the chair effect. But I was literally sweating in an air-conditioning house. And so I knew that the heart rate was getting up. And then eventually I finally got one of those little monitors, you know, almost like that finger monitor you see in the hospital, because I had gotten that because of my my oxygen, you know, it also reads your oxygen, but it also will tell your heart rate. So I would literally check my heart rate to see if it was going up, and it was amazingly. I mean, it was going up 80-85% of normal resting rate just doing those simple things. Another thing I did also with it is, like, not only with the boxing, but I was, like, doing, like, swimming moves. So even though I was sitting in the chair, I was, like, doing the crawl stroke, or I was doing the breaststroke with the dumbbells in my arms. And I'm telling you, it just had that effect that it was amazing. And like you said, the whole time, even unbeknownst to me, I was already starting to build that muscle you talk about. And that obviously turns around and helps your body to burn that fat away. And it's amazing. You and I were just talking about that it has that great effect. The more muscle you build, it seems like the better you can burn off the fat and your body metabolizes better. And that's a good question. How does that actually, I mean, obviously the physical activity has a way of not only boosting your metabolism, but then it increases it over time, doesn't it?
Yes, as you'll notice as you start working out, you start off just punching it out. I start off very slow when I start off on my fitness journey, and it being on an elliptical for me in 10 minutes, I felt like I was going to die. I thought it was the worst thing in the world. I could never do more than 10 minutes, and then sooner or later that 10 minutes turned into 15. That 15 minutes turned into a half hour. I was sitting there on the treadmill for over an hour, and it felt like I hadn't even worked out yet. And that's your metabolism increasing, your body adapting to the new lifestyle. So your body adapts to the workouts you're doing. You have higher energy. Your metabolism is working faster. You're working more efficient. So doing the workouts, they progressively start getting easier, and that just means that your body is working more effectively than what it was before.
Absolutely. I found that same thing with me because, you know, I barely started with a mile on that bike. And now, and getting winded at the same time. And now sitting and doing a 20-mile bike ride to me doesn't really faze me. I mean, I still sweat and everything is going like that, but I just don't get that total exhaustive effect that I used to do when I first started. And I think that's, like you said, your metabolism just, like, boosted way up. Now, we got another chatter in the chat room, and they were asking and wondering for you, Mercedes, is how to get rid of those flaps in your upper arm from weight training.
That's a really great question, and a lot of people have that issue. Even women, men, when you lose a lot of weight, you want to sit there and strengthen up your body and tighten up those arm muscles. The best thing to do is tricep exercises. You could easily sit there and find the edge of a table or a bench and dip your body down, have your legs straight out, and bend your body down using your own body weight that's incorporated in your triceps, which is the muscle that is right on the back of your arm. And that's the muscle that you're trying to work out. There's quite a few exercises you could do in a gym, out of a gym, And it's just really strengthening up that muscle and tightening everything up. And sometimes, though, unfortunately, it might be genetics. You can work out as much as you can, and you can only tighten it up as much as you can, but just continuing to do it and practice and upper body strength, tricep exercises, there's a whole lot of them. If you look up tricep exercises, you can see a plethora of exercises that you could do for that exact part in your arm.
Absolutely. That's a great, great point. So you were talking about your weight loss journey as well. You said you've lost over 100 pounds. So what led you to finally make that change or make that, let's say, that aha moment? What was your aha moment? And do you mind talking a little bit of how you got onto your weight loss journey and your whole new process?
Oh, sure. No problem. I was in my early 30s. I had a daughter. I was noticing a lot of things that I wasn't doing that I used to do when I was thinner. I put on the weight later on in my late 20s, early 30s, and I was actually started having a lot of aches and pains. I felt like I would see my friends at the same age range going out, having fun, doing things, and I was exhausted going from my car to the mall. I wasn't doing all the things I wanted to do. And I actually was going to see a doctor, and they said I was getting diabetes, and I was taking a medication for it. They said if I didn't get any better, I would be on insulin. I was petrified of needles. And I just took a look in the mirror. I said, here I am, a young 30-something-year-old woman, sitting at home every single night, having private taste tests and parties between which Ben and Jerry's ice cream was better for the day, while all my friends were out living the life. Not really fun. And then my doctor tells me I might need to stick myself with a needle every day. That's not where I wanted to be. So I just said, I have to do something. And I started by going to the gym. I would drive to the gym and sit in the parking lot and debate whether I was going to go inside or not. I didn't go inside for a good month. Months later, I went inside. That's when I started the elliptical. About 10 minutes I would go on there. Felt like it was the worst thing I've ever done. Was wondering why I was doing this. I'd get off, go home. After a while, the doctor said that I did not need to have to take insulin for the diabetes anymore, which was great. But I needed to start losing a little bit more weight, and I was struggling. So I went to see a weight loss clinic and a doctor, and they started helping me on my weight loss journey from there.
And so when did you get into deciding that maybe training and being a personal trainer was something that you really want to do?
After I lost the weight, a lot of people came to me and said, what did you do? How do you stay motivated? And what can you do to help me? And I knew the best thing that I could do to help them is to become properly educated. Because I had been in the gym. I had seen a lot of trainers. They're trainers and non-trainers and just what we love to call gym rats. And they would tell me all these different things to do. You get inundated with the media with try this diet, do this exercise, and you just don't know where to go. So I said, I need to get educated and find out how I can best help the people that are asking me for their help. So I became a personal trainer, and I fell in love with it. I became so knowledgeable. And I realized that I was going to be able to motivate and encourage people. So that girl that was me sitting in the parking lot debating whether she should go in the gym or not, I could sit there and help her get in the gym. And when she gets into that gym, feel comfortable and work out and help her reach those goals.
Well, that's a great point. And another question I would have then is then how do you motivate your clients to maintain their fitness regimen once they've started? And then also, how do you deal with the ones that are difficult, that always seem to have the excuses or something? What do you have any tricks or do you have any philosophy of how to help them kind of, you know, boost their ego or I don't know, you know? What do you do?
One of the things I do with all of my clients is I always sit there and find out from them what their reason for meeting me is, what their reason for starting this journey is. And they always have a great reason. Whatever their reason is, that's the reason that motivates them. I remind them of that reason. I would sit there and say, remember you told me this is why you were coming here. Why are you going to give up on yourselves? And I use their own power, their own words that they gave to me to motivate and encourage them. That's the best thing to do, because I can sit there and tell them a million and one reasons why they should keep exercising, but if it's not personal to them, it doesn't mean anything to them, it's not going to change. And difficult clients, I think I can't say that any client is difficult. Again, every client has their own reasons for being there, and I myself and can be unmotivated at times and not want to go to a gym and be difficult. I don't want to do this, to come up with excuses. So I don't say any client is difficult. It's up to me to push them beyond that and remind them why they need to see me and give them a reason to come and see me and hold them accountable to it, but in the way that's going to be best for each person.
Great, great, great point. So when we're talking about, like, nutrition and stuff, could you give us what are some good examples of, because everybody talks about the proteins, the carbs, and how we need to maintain a certain balance between the proteins, carbs, and fats. Obviously, those are the three macronutrients that we all need to incorporate in our nutritional life plan. But what are examples of good proteins and carbs that we should be concentrating on in our daily nutritional life plan, and what are the ones maybe also to avoid and keep to a minimum?
I would say whenever you're looking at food, look at whole grain, whole nutritious, unprocessed food, whether it's proteins, carbs, or fat. If it's unnatural or if it's processed and packaged up and it doesn't look like it was, it looks like it came from a machine, like chicken nuggets, probably not your best bet. For proteins, anything lean proteins that are lower in fat, lean proteins that come from a natural source, chicken, fish, soy, anything that's lean and natural is a great protein. Carbs is one of those things that it's either the evil carb or the good carb. You never know which way to go.
Right.
I say with carbs, whole grains is very important. Again, natural and unprocessed. If you see a carb that was sit there and squished into a yellow thing and it has Twinkie on it, probably not your best carb. But you see a whole grain carb that's natural, that has all its natural ingredients, no added artificial ingredients, that's a much better carb for you. And fat is the same thing.
And let's not be remiss and tell these people also that, carbs come in the form of vegetables and fruits as well. You know, I mean, a lot of people, when it comes to nutrition, and I know now that I've done over 400 hours of research on my own, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there's vegetables and fruits are a form of those good carbs as well. And, you know, even when you talk about the nutritional plate, as it were, it was the food pyramid before, and now they call it the plate. But they keep saying that you need to incorporate, 5 to 8 different vegetables and fruits a day. Those are those good those carbs. And when we're talking about proteins, there are even proteins that are non-meat proteins. You mentioned soy. There's also a very high content of proteins and stuff like spinach and stuff like that as well. So there's a lot of different vegetables and you know, that's one of those things that I think I now, I say, if there was a perfect food that I could eat almost every single day, it would be like broccoli and spinach, some of those dark green vegetables. And, you know, it's kind of weird because I was on or have been on this blood thinner, Coumadin, for many, many years, even prior to my weight loss journey. But I had been, and when I started, it was like up to 10 milligrams of this stuff, and it really is bad. It's kind of a bad drug, but it's a life-saving drug as well. But I noticed when I started this whole new nutritional plan, I was literally been able to kind of like wean myself off of this stuff slowly and slowly, more and more, and cut down. I'm down to 4, and eventually, like they said, when the skin removal surgery is and being done, the surgeon said he doesn't even think I will be on it anymore. And I really have to attribute a lot of that stuff to good food, good whole nutrient-dense food. I don't think a lot of people realize that really those good foods that we're talking about have healing effects on the body. You know, our bodies are amazing. You know, it's just like with the exercise. If you do the right exercises, our body's going to kind of like try to work its way back to its natural form, its perfect fit form. I think when we do and incorporate the nutritional aspects as well, it does the same exact thing. It helps our mind heal. It helps our brain heal. And it just has this overall effect on us that's just unbelievable. And, yeah, we had also had another person in the chat room, and they were asking, and it happens to go right into one of the questions that I had for you anyway, but exactly how beneficial are these protein bars and shakes that we always see that are flooded all over the market out there? And do you think, as we were just talking about, do you think the whole food proteins are maybe a better way to get those kind of things? Because, you know, I even see it any time. They've got that whole machine right there full of shakes, full of bars. But in your, you know, because we need, obviously, we need that protein to help build the muscle and help continue to burn the fat. But how effective are those, or would you recommend to use whole foods as an alternative?
Well, like we were discussing about proteins, it's one of the body's main building blocks for your muscles, for your bone, for your skin, for other tissues. So having protein incorporated into your diet, especially after you work out, is really important. You just worked out those muscles, and the best way to repair those muscles is to get protein into it. A lot of times, though, while trying to get a whole protein, a whole food protein, such as lean chicken or all of the proteins that we mentioned, even beans, something that you can eat whole and digest, it's not always easy. So that's why you all of a sudden see all these protein shakes and these bars. Like you said, at Anytime Fitness, we have that little kiosk. You can go and get a protein shake because it's right there. It's easy. Your body absorbs it much faster. The thing you have to watch out for, though, is there's so many, like you said, Steve, that flood the market. Look at the ingredients. If you see unnatural ingredients, you see they're putting a lot of unnatural things in there, a lot of sugars, a lot of fats. Stay away from them.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we were just at Trader Joe's yesterday, I think it was. Mary and I were. We were going through, and I just happened to pick up one of these protein bars, and I had just finished this something. I was like, oh, I'm going to get one of these. And exactly just like you said, I recommend everyone to read your labels religiously. I mean, everything. Pick it up, turn it around, read the label, because I almost got it because it was kind of like, it was kind of really good. You know, it sounded tasty. I think it was carrot cake or whatever, and I was like, ooh, you know, I haven't had a piece of carrot cake, but maybe I can have a protein bar. And then I turned it around.
Oh, boy, you're ringing a bell over here.
Right? And then I turned it around, and it was like 25 grams of sugar, and I was like, okay, we'll put that right back down. Thank you very much. You know, and it's one of those things that I keep talking about to all the people, like on my way stage or wherever, or when I go to sleep. If we just reduce those big three, as I like to call them, the sugars, the fat, the bad fat, and the sodium, because, you know, those three right there are a killer when we talk about the processed foods and anything in jars and bags and all that different stuff. And you just, if you turn around and look at that label, because, you know, we made them put those labels there for a reason. And I think they're really talking about it in government now, that they're actually going to try to make these labels even better, a little more simplified, because a lot of people say, oh, this is too complicated, I look at blah, blah, blah. But that's all and well and good, but, I mean, they have to put the ingredients on there. They have to tell you how much sugar they're putting in. They have to tell you how much salt is in there. And when you think about some of this stuff, you think it tastes good, but if you took away that sugar or the salt that they have in those things, it would taste like crap. That's the reason they're putting that stuff in there. And, you know, when you look at this fat-free stuff, you know, and when I started, I really relied on this fat-free dip, and I was, you know, diet soda, because it doesn't have any sugar in it. And then I realized as I got through my research, I started saying, well, fat-free stuff is loaded with sodium. And when you look at all this fat-free stuff, most of the time it's got more salt because they're taking away the sugar and they're jacking up the salt. And so you really almost defeat your purpose, and especially like when it comes to cheese, because cheese is a great protein. I don't know if we mentioned that, but cheese is a great protein too. You look at fat-free cheese, it's got way much more sodium than if you were better to go off with maybe like a 40 or 50% reduced fat cheese. it's got a lower, you know, and a little bit of that kind of fat is probably not that bad anyway. That's another question. How important is, like, to get some good fats after you work out as well? Would you want to incorporate some fats along with that protein that you're eating?
Absolutely. When you're thinking about fats, a lot of people think that you shouldn't have any fat, so that's absolutely wrong. Your body needs those fats. It has important nutrients that your body needs to be able to fuel itself. The biggest thing, again, just like we talked about with the protein and the carbs and the protein bars, is getting the healthy fats. Healthy fats from nuts. Healthy fats, like you said, from cheese. Healthy fats. There's avocados is a great thing to get healthy fats.
I love them.
Aren't they great? And it's so yummy tasting. Very easy. It's so nutritious. Has so many more nutritional value to it than just the fat. So when you're incorporating fats, make sure they're healthy. And then it's moderation. And if you're going to sit there and eat an entire Snickers bar to get your fat intake, probably not the best bet. Same thing with the avocados. Nobody would sit there and eat 5 avocados in one sitting. You sit there and have moderation.
Well, I think I could. I love them that much. You know, I really do. I've become addicted. And Kristen was another one that was like, oh, avocados and stuff. And now I got her addicted to it, too. Because, I mean, it is a great thing. I mean, you can do so much with it. We got another caller in here. It's Wayne. And so, hey, Wayne, how you doing? And what's your question for us? Nice to talk to you, buddy.
What was that?
I said, how you doing, Wayne?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Do you have a question for us?
No, I was just been listening. You know, I myself personally have lost 400 pounds too.
Yes, exactly. So, well, we were talking about fitness and working out. So, what is your fitness regimen like, and what do you do to keep maintaining that your metabolism and your fitness program?
I do just a lot of walking. I don't do a lot of gym. I just do walking. That's how I started. I was in a wheelchair,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Amazing.
I mean, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, I did my own regimen of lifting food cans, you know, in the house. I couldn't afford to go to a gym. So I just, you know, used my resources at home.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful,
yeah.
Wayne, that you did that. That sounds really great. And walking is
a
great exercise to do.
Yep, you know, 5-10 miles a day.
Awesome.
You know, constantly you got to be, you know, dedicated to it every day.
Yeah, and when you started, you literally couldn't do that. So, I mean,
I couldn't do it. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do like 10 steps without having the rest.
So you can see how far you've come and how far you've actually, again, we're talking about boosting your metabolism. And now, like you say, you can do 10 miles and you have no problem doing.
You know, when you're 26 pounds shy, you know, of 700 pounds.
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, you can barely walk.
So how long can you walk now, Wayne? Like when you go for your regular walk, how long do you walk for?
Oh, I can go 2 and 3 hours.
That's so amazing. You and Steve and all the people like you are just so amazing. Going from a wheelchair, going sitting in and working out for hours on end.
You know, doctors tell me that he needs the, you know, the bariatric surgery and, you know, all those amazing things that they can do medically. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to do this on my own.
I agree. I had the same discussions with my doctor, you know, and you know, at our size, Wayne, you know, we knew that we even to have that surgery, we would have had to get them down to a certain point before they actually even do it. And I, you know, that's
right.
What I said to my doctor. I was like, you know, listen, if I got to do that and do it naturally and get down to that weight, why would I stop and then have the surgery if I could just go ahead and keep going and do what I'm doing? So.
That's how I thought. If I can do the 75, I can do the rest.
Yeah, that's very true. You know? And I think doesn't that motivate you now? I mean, knowing that not only are you motivating so many other people across this country like I have been doing, but you get motivated just because you know what a difference you've made in your own life, and that you know that other people out there that are maybe even possibly listening to the show tonight, that they could possibly do the exact same thing, don't you think?
Right. You know, you go from a 93 waist to a 44.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you can reduce yourself, you can transform yourself, and it's all those little baby steps that we take in the beginning that get us further on down the road, you know?
I remember when I walked my first buck, I thought I walked a marathon.
Oh, have you done a marathon yet?
No, but when I walked my first block, I thought I did a marathon, no.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, if you're doing 10 miles already, I mean, you could get close to these. You could literally go ahead and actually at least walk a marathon, I would think.
A year ago, climbing mountains in Utah, you know, I would never would have done that.
That's great. So do you have any new...
Go ahead.
I didn't hear that.
I asked if you had any new goals for yourself. What is your next step now?
To do a 26-mile marathon.
That's wonderful. Sounds like you're halfway there.
Walking
10 miles, so.
Baby steps, you know. I mean, you got to take one stride forward and so you reach that final goal.
Exactly.
Yep, it's true. It's absolutely true. Okay, we got another caller on the line, Marcus. So good evening, Marcus. How are you doing, my friend? And you got a question for us?
Hi, Steve. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Hi, so I just want to say hi to Steve. Hi, Mercedes. I've been really having fun listening to you guys talk. And to Wayne, if you're still listening, I want to congratulate you, man, for how much you've done and keep moving, because it's really hard to keep yourself motivated. So I want you to know that we're all there fighting for you too. So I just wanted to comment a little bit. I was listening to you guys talk about nutrients and macronutrients and micronutrients and a lot of these things today. And the key for me is always just eating a balanced amount of food and keeping in your mind that you're eating food, and you're not just filling, you're not trying to fill your soul. You're trying to keep your body full of energy. And for me, for so long, food was a way of medicating myself and somehow filling an empty spot in my soul, rather than using it as a way of keeping my body moving. I remember 2 years ago, I was sitting, my wife and my kids went away to visit my in-laws, and I was sitting in the house, and over the course of 3 days, I ate through probably, one of those 3-foot-long blocks of sliced cheese. And
yeah.
I can't even imagine doing that now, but it amazes me the kinds of foods I was eating at the time. As opposed to tonight, which, I made sag paneer. I ate, spinach and cheese that I made myself. And what a difference it is in 2 years.
Yeah. And you're true. It's a good point that you made, that we use food as a medicine to medicate ourselves, I think, sometimes. It's very, very true. And I think sometimes... we get, and in fact, I had this conversation with Dr. Oz when I met him last year in July at his lecture. I had an opportunity to sit in his meet and greet afterwards, and we were talking about that exact same thing. He says, a lot of the foods that we eat, and food addiction, let's not even get it wrong, there is a major food addiction problem in this country. A lot of people are addicted to food. I'm talking to... a guy I mentor in Virginia. I was just Skyping with him last night. And, we kind of fall back off the wagon sometimes to those junk foods or those processed foods. But as Dr. Oz has said before, they have a medicative effect on our body. They give us pleasure sensations just as if the same sensations that we would receive from hard drugs. And he says, It's the same as cocaine or heroin. And when you eat those sugar-laden, salt-laden foods and fat-laden foods, and especially ones that have all three in them, we get these pleasure sensations in our brain, but it's really tricking our brain. And he says the bad thing is that with drugs, our body really don't need drugs. And so even though it's an addiction, with drugs you it's easier to kick them. But with food, it's something that we need every day to keep us alive. And the problem is that we're in a society now where cheap food is bad food is so cheap that it's so easy to just hit that drive-through or pick something up that's cheap and fill our stomach with not really sometimes, you know, we make that excuse, well, I'm just going to do it now and I need to eat something. And I got to, you know, I'm hungry, I'm starving. I hear that all the time. I'm hungry, I'm starving. I mean, I said it today when I was done working out. I'm hungry, I'm starving. And I could have stopped on the way home and gotten something, but I know now, I realize that, you know, putting something like that in my body is just going to make me feel like crap later. But the thing is that we get those feelings of, you know, like you said, it's a medicative effect. And we get used to that feeling. We like those pleasure sensations. I think that's why we go to the ice cream, and that's why we go to those bonbons, and a lot of us do that night feeding. You know, I get that question all the time. I'm a night feeder. How do I quit the night feeding? So that would be a question to you, Mercedes, if you're still there. How do we pick that those little night feeding, when we get that urge to eat something? How do we stop ourselves from doing that? You know.
Well, one thing we have to remember that your last caller just said earlier was that you have to change your relationship with food. Food is fuel for your body. And if you change the way you think about food and you start thinking about, if you wake up and you're craving something, why are you craving it? What is the purpose? What is it going to serve? Just stop and think. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would always tell me, stop and think before you speak. You could do that before you put anything in your mouth. Stop and think before you insert into your mouth. Think about, why am I going to get this? I feel like I'm craving it. Do I need it? Probably not. Am I going to die if I do not eat this right now? Absolutely not. So stop and think about what you're putting into your body. And like you said, Steve, is it going to make me feel better later? Might make you feel great for right now, but how many further steps is it going to push you back from your goal? If your ultimate goal is weight loss, to be healthier, to feel better about yourself, to have more energy, is serving that craving at that very moment going to help you? Absolutely not. So just stop and ask yourself those essential questions, and hopefully that'll stop you. And if it doesn't, have a backup plan. If you know at 10 o'clock every night, I need to have a bowl of ice cream, you switch that bowl of ice cream with something healthier. Throw some frozen grapes in your freezer. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's creamy. It'll serve
and
craving until you change.
Too. Freeze some blueberries. Oh. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing that Dr. Amen and I were talking about. He says one of his favorite desserts, and he kind of turned me on to it. Freeze some blueberries and then have some Greek yogurt and maybe put like some stevia or maybe some raw honey in to sweeten it up a little bit. And then put some of those like frozen blueberries in it and eat that as a dessert. I mean, I swear, it you almost think like you're eating a decadent dessert and then you're actually giving yourself good protein and you're giving yourself what he calls brain berries. I mean, one of the best antioxidant foods and fruits that you can eat. Also, I do want to mention for those that are listening out there that if you don't know the call-in number, the number is area code 347-989-1473. That's the call-in number is 347-989-1473. So if you've got questions and you want to call in, just call that number, and it's also available right on the Blog Talk Radio site as well, and you can call in and ask any questions that you want. So we got Carrie on the line. Hey, Carrie, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
We're doing great. You got a question for Mercedes, Carrie?
Mercedes, I've lost over 220 pounds myself, changed my lifestyle. I'm a personal trainer now myself. I guess my question to you would be a question that I get asked all the time. I just want to see how you would, what your response would be is, how many meals should you be eating throughout the day?
That's such a hard question because the usual train of thought is, as a personal trainer, and I hear this from everybody, eat 5 or 6 small meals a day,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And I think even small meals and fueling your body throughout the day is very important and much better than sitting down and consuming a huge high-calorie meal. But I always go back to talking to that person and finding out what their lifestyle is like. For some people, 5 to 6 small meals a day doesn't work for them. It just is not going to fit into their lifestyle, not going to fit into their schedule. So I really sit down and talk to them first and get an individualized understanding of what is going to work for them and what they're used to doing. That being said, having calories, and I always go back to a car. I don't know why I go back to car analogies, but if you fill up your gas tank and you overfill it, it overflows and goes somewhere. It just spills out into the street. Your body, it's going to spill out into fat cells. A lot of the calories you consume will turn into fat. So there's no overspillage there. So if you consume too many calories in one sitting, it's going to turn into fat because there's no way you could utilize all that energy and burn all that energy in the right amount of time. So moderation and finding out from your clients exactly what is going to work for them. Again, what might work for one client, eating 5 or 6 small meals a day, might not work for another client. So finding what's the best way to give them the best advice that's going to work for them and they'll stick to.
Okay, good.
That's great.
Thank you.
Great, great point. Thanks. And thanks, Terry, for calling in. So we're going to have to wrap it up now. We've gone a little over the hour. They wanted us to go an hour, but we went a little further. But that's great. I want to thank Mercedes. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, yeah, thank you for being our first guest. We also want to mention that stay tuned for next week's webisode. We'll be featuring the owners of Anytime Fitness, Eric and Lori Rubin, and they'll be also featured in the webisode that we will have up next Monday on our social media sites. So please stay tuned for that. It will be up on this next Monday. Mercedes, I will see you on Friday at any time and for our workout, and we'll also be able to do a little filming there and talking about your journey as well. So I will see you on Friday, and for the rest of you out there, I just want you to keep striving towards better health, and like I always say, peace and love plus health equal harmony, and I want to thank you all for tuning in, and please stay tuned for next week. And also, don't forget Ordinary Women and the Diamond in the Rough show tomorrow with Mountain Man. And check them out. And we'll be talking to you next week. So goodbye, and have a nice night. Mm-hmm.